Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley, filling in for Zach Jones once again. You'll hear me for the rest of the week and on Saturday as well, so I hope you don't get tired of listening to me. That'd be a little tough there. But back for the week, back tonight for 2 hours. This is another special one, taking you all the way to Sabres pregame. We're going to chat with Brian Koziol again at 8:45 and do a little pregame, if you will, heading towards the Sabres-Vancouver Canucks game. So that should be interesting. Evan DiPasquale on the board. Master control, pushing the buttons. Listen, I was nervous, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. I was nervous about today because I knew it was another two-hour nightcap, and I'm like, okay, the Sabres dropped to the Kraken. I was saying they were due. I sounded confident, but there's always that little devil on your shoulder, you know? So the Sabres end up defeating the Kraken, absolutely obliterating them, actually, by the end of the game. At first, you're kind of like, oh, man, here we go again. You know, Kraken score first, and then immediately right after Alex Tuch answers. You're like, okay, we're in it. We're here. The Sabres are in it. They're at 7.2% now. They ran with 2% for about 3 weeks last year. So I think they can run with 7.2% for a little while. Seattle's at 0.6%, so I mean, the Sabres should have beaten them, and they did. They got their first ever victory over the Seattle Kraken in franchise history. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? They were due. It had to happen at some point. And last night, I mean, this is the time to do it. You fall flat in Detroit, big time. You got to bounce back like that. Evan, what did you think? What did you think about the game?
It was pretty chaotic.
Did you watch the whole thing? Did you stay up? Because I know it's like...
I was here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You produced the game.
I was producing
the
game.
How silly of me forgetting that, but...
Yeah, I was producing the game. It was
fun. So you knew before everyone else, essentially,
oh, yeah,
that wasn't at the game, that it was... Yeah, the Sabres nailed it in. So, I mean, Sabres, Kraken, I don't know what you thought going... I mean, we talked about it a little last night, but it wasn't anything, I guess... You were expecting the Sabres to blow them out. I thought it was going to be close. I didn't think it was going to be like that.
And no, I will never say a blowout when it comes to any sports team.
Yeah, it's probably for the best because the odds of it happening are very low, especially with an inconsistent
hockey team, as we called it yesterday.
Sabres. Yeah, and like multiple people called it yesterday. You, myself, and Brayton Wilson of WBEN and WGR. He came in for a little while yesterday, chatted with us, and oh, man. Consistently inconsistent is the word to throw around because guess what? Last night they looked like one of the best teams in hockey. They set the pace early. They did what they needed to do. They played physical. They answered back when asked upon. Where was that against Detroit on Saturday? Nowhere to be found. I guess three games in a row is the cap for the season. So, you know, they can go another three games. They're going to drop one, go another three. Hopefully they could just go. I know it's unrealistic to say that they're going to win every game from here on out. There's, 13 games left? Including the one tonight, something like that. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something. I don't know. I got to look up the actual number here. But I feel like I want to hear what you guys have to say. If you are out there listening and you want to call in, the number is 716-803-0550. Let us know what you thought during the game, after the game, before the game. We heard from a couple people yesterday, and they wanted answers, right? I mean, Luukkonen played a great game last night. He really did. Levi is most likely, that's what they're leaning towards, I guess, tonight. So
it was a rough third period.
It was like, a rough third period
for
Luukkonen.
It was a sloppy third period. I think Luukkonen had 13 shots on him. Now, he stopped them all, but
still.
I think that's kind of a good reason why to bring Levi up. Just for this trip and then send him back down to Rochester.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's kind of the thing, right? I think you kind of have to give Devin Levi a little shot. The way he's been playing lately, how well he's been playing in Rochester. Put a little faith in him, right? Eric Comrie, I know we had a caller yesterday call in and mention, oh, we kind of wasted assets on Aaron Comrie, whatever. I think Devon Levi, you're putting the faith of the future in him by allowing him to come on the road trip here. It's big-time hockey, too. You are fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot, and you are entrusted. You're entrusting Devon Levi tonight, most likely. I mean, like Evan mentioned, Luukkonen was struggling, but it was a rougher third period.
I wouldn't
last
say Luukkonen struggled.
No, but it was just a
I
lot
just
on
think
him.
That it was, yeah. There was a lot of shots, and I think that if it was a lighter load in the third period, then he might have started. But this time, I think around. Yeah, put Levi in the net.
Right. And Paul Hamilton recently joined Mike Schopen the Bulldog just a couple, like not even an hour ago. And, you know, he mentioned that the flight from Seattle to Vancouver is essentially here to Rochester, here to, you know, something like that, right? It's not far. It's not far at all. Customs are the issue. They don't get in till late. Luukkonen on a late night of sleep has to go in and repeat. It's not like a home back-to-back. So expect Devon Levi, Obi-Wan DeGoli, Darth Levi, if they're in the black and reds, doing his meditation. They made a move. I still don't like that. I think that's when everything went downhill, unfortunately. But, you know, we'll wait to see that. But, yeah, love to get connected with some fans if you're able to. 716-803-0550 or on Twitter, on X, twitter.com, as it still is, at the Buffalonian underscore or at WGR550. So we're going to preview. We are the pregame to the Sabres, and it is going to be a night to remember, hopefully. You want them to continue on the pace. You don't want them to be the consistently inconsistent Sabres, because let's take a look at the NHL playoff odds. And I know I already mentioned they're 7.2% here, but they're chasing Detroit, the Islanders, and the Capitals. The Capitals beat the Calgary Flames last night 5-2, so they're not going anywhere. So they need to fight tooth and nail to get into the playoffs. And I don't know, like, to get your thoughts on this maybe too. Would you rather the Sabres fight tooth and nail, get 1 point out like they did last season and drop out of the playoffs again? Or would you rather them not lose out necessarily, but you know they're not going to make it? Would you rather not get teased that they're about to go in there? Or would you rather want it all the way and then it falls apart at the end? I personally don't know what I would say to that, truthfully. It's just kind of, it's tough to think about, because the hopeless optimist within me is telling me that the Sabres are going to make a playoff run, right? They're going to make a playoff berth, at least, and be that dangerous team that might sneak in. If they won against Detroit, that would be easier, but nonetheless, they still have an opportunity, 7.2% chance, and if they win tonight, that'll climb even further. They're 4 points out, excuse me, from a playoff spot. So, listen, it's going to be a good game tonight. I'm really excited. You know what I'm not excited about? I was looking out the window all day sitting here at work, and I felt like it was, you know, it's about to hit December. Like, yesterday, I know we mentioned the mini flurries of snow we had, but today was a constant snow. I'd say probably 2 inches of accumulation. I'm going to have to break out the snow brush, and I don't like that in the middle of March, I'll tell you that much. It's St. Joseph's Day, too. Happy St. Joseph's Day to all the other Joes out there, like myself. Forgot about that until my grandparents called me earlier today and wished me a happy St. Joseph's Day, so that reminded me. And it's snowing on St. Joseph's Day in March. So, I mean, honestly, though, good on St. Patrick's Day parade for getting past it, right? You didn't have to worry about the snow. It was a little brisk. But what'd you do on St. Patrick's Day, Evan? Anything?
Worked.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We both did. Yeah.
We worked and stayed at home, did nothing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm not one of those people that goes out and party.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
that
always...
That makes me sound like a bummer, but...
It's nice to celebrate heritage, especially Buffalo's got a strong Irish blood to it. So happy belated St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Joseph's Day. Happy Sabres game day. It's also bracket season. The first of the March Madness is underway, the first four. And we're gonna keep an eye on that as well. Brackets, I don't think, are due until Thursday. Let me double check on that. But a lot of people have UConn going all the way. And right now, taking a look just at the Colorado State and Virginia game, we have Colorado 10 is the 16th seed, excuse me, And that game is live right now. So you can tune into that. Get your fix if you're a college basketball fan. We can start getting into this. I'm excited. This is Wagner at Howard is 23-12 right now, Wagner, in Wagner's favor. So I don't think these are really these do anything for the bracket, but you know, if you're paying attention in the first four and you're a college basketball junkie, like I know the gentleman who normally hosts this show, Zach Jones, is, I know he's dialed in, he's locked in. So March Madness is underway. Maybe we'll do a mock bracket. Who knows? We'll wait and see what ends up happening here. But I don't know. I can't get the Sabres out of the back of my head. It's just they're lingering there. Again, like you said yesterday, it's a toxic X. Like, it's just there. Can't forget about it. They're just at, even at 7.2% out from the playoff chance to make the playoffs, you're still like, okay, they're in it. They've got it. I know it's tough. Like, they're of course pessimists all over Twitter. I mean, I'm speaking to the masses here. Everyone knows that. But the consensus is the Sabres are not going to make it, and people need to stop getting their expectations so high. And while I agree, you know, you don't have super high expectations, it's nice to have some. Have a little hope. Have hope with the Bills. Look what happened to them. I mean, granted, they haven't gone to the AFC Championship more than once, but they're in it every year. They're one of the top quarterbacks, if not top two, in the NFL. He continues to get better. So,
and that's what I think the Sabres are missing.
Right, they don't have that guy.
They don't have a generational looking. Well, I don't want to say generational because that phrase gets thrown
generational
out.
Generational is like, yeah.
That phrase gets thrown out like
too much.
They said Connor McDavid is a generational talent.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And now
true.
They're saying
Sidney Crosby.
Well, Crosby,
he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just am not.
No, and the Sabres don't have a guy like that.
Every year they say someone is a generational talent.
Right, and I was talking with Brayton Wilson last night. You're looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? They are where they are still, even though people thought they were selling the team away because of Sidney Crosby. They are keeping it there because of a generational talent. The Bills are the Bills because of Josh Allen as a generational talent. You thought Tage Thompson might have the generational talent, right? You thought that might be the case. But It still could be. The jury's still out on that one. You don't know exactly what it could be, what it can't be. He had a couple injuries this season, a little bit of a down year. But listen, you need a generational talent, whether they find that in free agency or draft ends up working out for them in their favor. They have a lot of great collective players. You bring Bo Byram on the team, it already made a huge difference. Let's get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. You can shop online at northtownkia.com. Brad in Hamburg, what do you feel like you'd rather have the Sabres do? How's it going?
Good. Personally, I would definitely rather have the Sabres miss the playoffs by a point. I just love watching Sabres hockey when
I know
they have something to play for.
All right, the botterilism, playing meaningful games in March, right? We hate to say it, but it's true. It's fun to watch them play in March.
Exactly. I just love watching Sabres when the weather starts being nice out. When you got to tune into the games and you don't know, or when the games like actually mean something, you know, oh my God, can Tage pull one out tonight and get us into the playoffs? Like, I just, like, this year, I feel like even more than last year has like brought me deeper into my fandom, because I just remember growing up as a kid, going watching like 06, 07, and just remembering Drury, Briere, like how much I just looked up to those guys. And this year back around, more than last year for some whatever reason, like bringing in Bo Byram, it's really just ignited that fire back, and I really just want to see them try to make a push.
Yeah, I think you are among the masses there. And Bo Byram, as you said and I've said, he really has ignited the spark back into the Sabres. And, you know, just they've brought it back. It's tough that they're only, you know, a 7% chance at this point. But I feel like I kind of would be in the line with you as always. I feel like the Buffalo sports fans in general, right, they'd rather see him almost make it than not at all. So, because, I mean, going to the drought for the Bills all those years, my childhood, your childhood, whatever it may be, I'd rather see them almost get to the Super Bowl every year than go through that again. So,
yeah, I completely agree with you. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for the call. And, you know, some valid points made there. You do want to see the Sabres get there. It's fun. I hate to quote Jason Botterill. I really do, because that's just a stain, all-time stain, right? But you want to see them play meaningful games in March. And they're doing that. They are doing that. Even in a season where it felt like a down year, it was a down year from last season, they're still continuing to push to play those meaningful games. And honestly, yeah, they dropped the Detroit game. Out of their last five games, they've been stellar performances. So it's nothing that's too outlandish, I would say, to really to say they can make it, right? And yeah, they don't have the generational talent, that's for sure, yet. Maybe they will. Maybe someone develops. We shall see. Let's get connected with our fans again. Mike in Hamilton, what you got for us today?
Man, I've been listening to you guys and love the show. First and long for me. But Tage Thompson is nowhere near a generational talent. And he's a heck of a player. He's fantastic. He's got a ton of skill. But he's not going to be that elite guy. He's not the Pierre Turgeon or the Howardchucks you guys inherited over the years, you know, or Gilbert Perreault back in his heyday, like nowhere near. And that's what I compare, you know, some of these legacy guys. You know, Sidney Crosby, fantastic. No Mario Lemieux, but yeah, absolutely generational. And you guys haven't had that in years. Darlene could potentially be your generational player, like Victor Hedman is in Tampa Bay, solidifying that back line. And man, your back line for the next 10 years is scary. And now you just got to get way better up front.
Absolutely. I mean, do you? I'll ask you this. What is a generational talent out there that you could see maybe fitting in with the Sabres? Is there anyone in particular that maybe fits in with that Tage Thompson-led first line or moves stuff around? Kind of like Darlene, right? He can shift to either side of the ice. You're right. He could be that generational talent. Is there anyone out there you think that could fit with the Sabres currently that they could pick up in free agency in the offseason, let's just say?
As of yet, no, because everyone's willing to pay the $11-12 million and solidify them for $8 million. Like, your taxes in New York State aren't the greatest, you know, and
yeah, that's for sure.
Florida, and you know, like, if you're willing to go to New York State, you might as well come to Ontario, pay an extra 2%.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you want to live in anonymity, yeah, definitely play for Buffalo. You know, you can go live in Aurora and all that stuff. And it's tough. There isn't much out there, right?
No, there's not.
You do have to find the diamond in the rough, or you have to be horrible to you know, get that lottery pick. But you guys aren't far away, man. But what I've noticed is the farm team isn't as strong, and the development that used to come out of that system hasn't been good. And I think that's where you guys are lacking, because for years and years, when you guys were, you know, cup contenders in that, it was your farm system.
Yeah, it was the Rochester Americans. They were hot back then. Yeah,
they were on fire. And I worked for the American Hockey League back in the day doing stats, and I would see them all the time against the Hamilton Bulldogs and, you know, and various other teams. And man, there was no better feeder system than what you guys had back then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're 100% right on that. I appreciate the call, Mike. Much appreciated. I 100% agree. Listen, you know, you would like to hope Tage Thompson might end up being that generational talent, but it just might not be the case, unfortunately. And going back to the Pittsburgh situation, Sidney Crosby's carrying that team on his back, essentially. He's a generational talent. McDavid, generational talent. So you don't have that on the Sabres right now. They have a lot of solid players, though, that fill out the lines now, right? I saw the line yesterday. I'm like, what is Gergensen's doing on the first line? There must be some method behind the madness here, because Jeff Skinner on the third line, it's almost like he's getting Krugered again, like he did all those years ago, and he was in fourth line jail. Skinner had a hat trick yesterday. And yeah, that might just be he had a great game himself, but the entire team performed. Everyone got a piece of the pie. Owen Power even nailed one in, right? Like, he's been doing much better. There's a lot of positives to look at with the team as a whole right now, where I feel like a couple of weeks ago, even a month ago, it was doom and gloom for most of the season. It was, this team's regressed. I'm not saying they haven't. Believe me, they have. But this team's regressed. This team can't do what they did last year. They're catering to their slower defense. They stopped the high-flying, high-intensity offense. We've seen a revival in that, especially last night. And I think that has a lot to do with Bo Byram going on to the first line with Rasmus Dahlin and there being offensive defensemen again. They were trying to play in the neutral zone all season. That was not working at all. And here you are now in your final push towards the end of the season. And you're coming into that, what people knew you as, that dangerous team. The national broadcast spoke nothing but high regards about the Sabres last year, their offense being so unstoppable because it was unpredictable. The puck would bounce everywhere. It looked like a game of ping pong or pong, or it looked like a pinball machine. That's essentially what they were doing last year. It was just going all over the place. Landed on someone's stick in front of the net and went in. And yep, that might not be sustainable long term because you have a young team right now, but they were essentially playing street hockey and it was fun to watch. Fun to watch. I know I watched a lot, whether I was at the game or I actually was, for the first time in a long time, tuned in to watching them at home. I watched entire games. This season, every game I've gone to, midway through the third, it's 2-1 with the other team, we're going to leave because their Sabres aren't going to win. And they didn't. They didn't take it to overtime. They didn't scrape for those points. I can't tell you the last time I watched a game on TV except for the Islanders game the other day. I was excited throughout the entire game. That was an exciting game to watch. They sold the on-ice product that they need to sell. Because there are other teams, right? I think Ottawa, they're talking about relocating them, and they're decent. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, thank you. Winnipeg. They're talking about relocating because they just can't get people to go to the stadium. So it's just like, I don't know. You need to sell the on-ice product, and that's what we've been seeing a little bit more of lately, I feel like. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think the Sabres are close yet. They're close to a playoff berth, but a lot needs to go their way in the offseason to really get it done, I guess. And the draft, right? Kevin Adams, great pickup, great trade for Bo Byram. Great trade. It's just, you know, we've had, maybe I'm just a disdained Buffalo sports fan, okay? Maybe I'm hopelessly optimistic because both professional teams have gone through literally decade and a half long droughts, and they're both the spans of my younger years.
We're drought babies.
We're drought babies. The Bills weren't good until I was in high school. I was 15 the first year they made the playoffs.
Until I was in college.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's like, I don't know. It's just, I got to calm down, all right? Got to calm down because it's kind of like pent up aggression over the past two decades of my life that there hasn't been a lot of, especially with the Sabres, there hasn't been a lot of great hockey. So before we take a break here, we're going to get connected with our fans one last time. Derek in Buffalo, what you got for us?
Hey guys, how you doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you. My wife hates this about me, and I get made fun of now. I can't wait for it not to be a punchline, but I haven't missed a Sabres game in 13 seasons. I've listened to live or watched every game live in 13 straight seasons. And I know that last year was, you know, that was supposed to be the last straw. This year they were supposed to make the playoffs, and I actually do think they're going to. And I was talking with some coworkers today, and they almost, I don't understand it, but they almost think, what's the point of making the playoffs? Because we're just going to get, you know, walloped in the first round, and it would just be a waste. And to that, and I think that's a lot of fans think that. And for me, the Bills, you know, they missed the playoffs for 20 straight seasons. And once they finally did it, they lost 6-3 in a horrible, horrible game against the Jags. I think that was the score.
Yeah.
They haven't looked back ever since. You know, there's this fog of failure over, you know, over the stadium, over the city. And it seemed like it just got cleared just because they finally did it. You know, nobody could say anymore that they didn't make the playoffs. And I think that's what the Sabres need. I don't care if they make it and they play the Panthers in the first round and get shut out four games in a row. It's going to stink, but I think they're no longer chasing the, you know, just get to the playoffs. I think the narrative after the season is going to be, all right, we got there. And there's going to be an expectation for them to make it going forward. not just to hope to get there. And the you know, the team is just going to think about how do we get to the next round in the playoffs and here, you know. And I don't know. I want to see it happen. I really think they can do it. They've been playing really good hockey recently, and I hope that, you know, they can make Buffalo a hockey town again and make people who are fans of the team not a punchline. I want them to, you know, be proud of being a fan again. And I think, you know, I think they're really close. I want to, so, you know, I'll hang up and listen and see what you have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, Derek, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. It's truthfully, you could, I don't think you could have put it any better. It's not a disdain for you watching every game. It's not going to be a punchline for much longer. They're there. They're essentially there. And yes, it's going to be frustrating if they don't make it, but you are absolutely right. Is the Bills, Tyrod Taylor got knocked out in that playoff game and Nate Peterman had to come in. That was terrible. I think I chipped my front tooth biting my nails from the amount of anxiety that was coursing through my body. And I remember running around my block with the shout song the night Andy Dalton made it happen for the Bills, right? Like, everyone did forget about that. It's never forgotten. The drought's never forgotten, but the despair, like cloud, that fog that you said, the dense cloud hovering over everybody was gone. And if the Sabres just make it and they at least play a game, play a series, right? That's all that has to happen. So we got to get to a quick timeout here. If you're calling in, we'll get you on hold. We'll get you ready to go. Talk to you in the next break. We're going to also revisit Sal Capaccio's chat with Paul Hamilton earlier today on the Extra Point Show about the Sabres win last night. See what Paul had to say. And again, we'll be joined at 8:45 by Brian Koziel for a pregame. This is the Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley. You're listening to WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paterka comes up to take the puck. Fires a shot off the post. Rebound scores! Owen Power stays with the play and jumps on the rebound and parked it in the back of the net. The Sabres lead it 4-2 with 9:24 to go in period number two.
Owen Power making a stand. Look at that. Puts him up 4-2. Ending score was 6-2, so Skinner contributed. I mean, if Skinner just scored all three himself, they would have won the game. Look at that. But no, he had help from the team. Look at that. Let's do a little out-of-town scoreboard watch before we get into the chat that Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase had with Paul Hamilton earlier today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Just want to get that out there in case you missed it. It's a great chat, especially after the big game last night. So, Brian Koziel, who will join me later, he put out his out-of-town watch for Tuesday on Twitter. Toronto over Philadelphia, Blue Jackets over Detroit, the Devils over Pittsburgh, and Carolina over the Islanders. Let's take a look. It's scoreboard watching season, everyone. The Maple Leafs are down 0-1, so we have a problem there. Maple Leafs need to score, I think. Is that what I said? Yes, the Maple Leafs need to score. The Bruins, that doesn't matter. The Blue Jackets are up 2-0 on the Red Wings with 5:20 left in the first. We're looking good there. The Devils are up over the Penguins with 1-0 with 4:52 left. And the Jets-Rangers are tied 0-0, 7:17 left. Nothing really to worry about there. And then what else? Carolina over the Islanders. That starts at 7:30, puck drop. It has not begun yet. Excuse me. So we're going to have to wait and see how that one goes. We'll keep you updated on the scoreboard watching, though, as the nightcap continues here. But without further ado, let's get into that chat from earlier today, again, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. They had Paul Hamilton on to speak on the Sabres' victory, first time ever in franchise history, over the Seattle Kraken.
Our guy Paul Hamilton joins us now on the Western Hotline. Sabres with a nice victory last night over the Seattle Kraken. Finally, Paul, able to break through and beat Seattle. I mean, 0-5 up until last night. What's going on here? They couldn't beat Seattle. What was the difference last night between their previous games against Seattle?
Well, they didn't wilt. I mean, in past games, the Kraken are a big, tough team, and Buffalo, I think, used to back off against it, and they did not back off at all. I mean, they just kept coming. They didn't care what Seattle threw at them physically, and they were totally up to the task. And it was interesting, too. Not only are you 0-5 against Seattle, you give up a goal 24 seconds into the game, and now you're down. Now your natural reaction is, oh, this again? Are you kidding me? And they're already up on us. But they didn't act that way, you know? And they had just lost in Detroit to a team that had lost 7 in a row and has since lost a game. So they have lost 8 out of 9. But their only win was against the Sabres. But they didn't pout about it, or they show up in Seattle. They gave up a goal, and 25 seconds after Eberle scores, Thompson scores to tie the game. And by the time you're 5:41 in, Buffalo has a 3-1 lead and have chased the goaltender. So I really, to me, that was the most impressive part of the game right there. That
okay,
they easily could have wilted when that goal went in at 24 seconds and you're 0-5 against that team.
All right, so my follow-up to that is, what is the difference last night between maybe earlier in the season when they would have wilted in other situations? We've seen them get scored on early in the game often, way too often this year, and it seems like they kind of go into a shell. It's too tough for them to recover. They're down 2-0 by the end of the first. That didn't happen last night. What's been the difference there?
You've heard me say this probably a million times. Your best players have to be your best players, and they were.
Yeah.
I mean, who scored the goals in the first period when you got down 1-0? Thompson scores, Skinner scores, Tuck scores. There you go. There are your three goals right there. By the end of the night, Skinner has a hat trick. Thompson has a goal and an assist. Tuck has a goal and an assist. Cousins has an assist. Owen Power has a goal. You know, the guys that you know, need to be your main guys were your main guys. They were able to cut down the ice time for Byram and Dahlin being a back-to-back situation and having such a lead. They didn't need to use them 25, 30 minutes. I think Dahlin played 20, 32 and Byram 21, 26, and they were both on the plus side and had much better games than they had in Detroit. So, you know, when you, and of course, Lukanen, I don't want to forget him. I mean, he had 18 saves in the third period and had 34 shots. So when your best players are your best players, the Sabres have some pretty good players on the top end of their roster. Just earlier in the season, they just weren't performing. They weren't scoring the way they're paid to score. And in this game, they showed up big time.
You feel like their current line combinations are actually working out pretty well, the kind of having a grinder type, if you will, on each line? Because it's been like, what, Paul, like 4 or 5 games now, and they've won all but one of them.
Yeah, and they switched it. They took Greenway off with Benson and Cousins, and they switched that right away, and I think it was right after the goal 24 seconds in. And they just flipped Greenway onto Krebs' line, and that seemed to work out okay too when they did that. So they like doing that. That's why a lot of people say, well, why is Zemgus Girgensons on with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck? Well, it's because what Tage Thompson talked about after the game. You know, they like playing with him because they know exactly what they're going to get. He's a straight-ahead guy that wins most of his battles, and you know, and he opens up ice for him and Tuck. And if you notice, you know, Thompson has been, you know, seeing more ice that he can work with and getting himself into prime scoring opportunities. And, you know, same thing with Tuck. So, you know, they switch Greenway to another line to try to do some of that same thing. And I've liked Greenway all year long. I know maybe some folks don't. I get a lot of negative comments about him. I love his penalty killing. He's one of the best penalty killers in the National Hockey League. He produces a lot of turnovers with his forecheck and with his reach. He seems to read plays extremely well, where he can get in on the forecheck, read the play, you know, maybe get a turnover and continue the forecheck. So he's not here to score 20 goals. I mean, that's not who he is. That's not what he's going to do. He's got 9 goals. You know, if you get double-figure goals out of Jordan Greenway and let him play the way he's supposed to play, you know, I mean, I think that helps too, just the way he plays the game.
Paul Hamilton joining us on the Wester Hotline. His reports on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Hat trick last night for Jeff Skinner. He had a pretty big lull, and I'm not saying that he's been great lately necessarily, but it seems like he's coming out of a bit of a funk. What have you seen from Jeff Skinner lately?
You know, he was challenged by his head coach. His head coach didn't like the way he was playing. There was a game he played less than 9 minutes, or less than 10 minutes, rather. And, you know, he listened to his head coach and played much better. That was a much better game, not just the goals he scored, but he was a gnat in there. He was a thorn in their side. He was good on the puck. He was good on getting pucks back. He was good on the forecheck. And he was around the net. And when he's like that, that's when he's a useful player. But he wasn't like that for a long time, and Don Granato let him know. And now he's getting another opportunity, and when he plays better, he gets more ice time, and he does tend to score goals in bunches anyway. That's kind of the way a lot of goal scorers are, not just him. So, you know, he gets three, and maybe that'll get him going. And I do want to say the Winnipeg Jets say Rick Bowness, their head coach, will not be on the bench. He's having a minor medical procedure. He has returned to Winnipeg, and he will return to the team once his condition improves. Former Sabre Scott O'Neill is back as the interim head coach until Rick Bowness is able to return to the Winnipeg Jets.
All right, so Rick Bowness not behind the bench tonight. We expect Devin Levi in goal for the Buffalo Sabres tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. 18 shots for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in the third period. He was really up to the task. I thought the Sabres got a little bit sloppy in the third period last night, but Luukkonen, after that goofy power play goal at the end of the first period by Beniers that flew up in the air, and next thing you know, puck's laid against the post, and Beniers was the only one on the ice of all the players that knew where the puck was. You know, he just slammed the door. And after that goal, Seattle came at him, and he made the saves. There were some outnumbered situations where he made the saves. And with that in mind, that he had 18 saves in the third period, I suppose I would be surprised if it wasn't Devin Levi in goal against Vancouver. Not that it's a long flight. I mean, Seattle to Vancouver is probably like Buffalo to Rochester or Buffalo to Syracuse on a plane, but then you still have to go through customs, you know, and do all that. So I would, and especially the way Devin Levi has been playing in Rochester, no pouting whatsoever. He went down there, took the bull by the horns. You know, no player wants to be sent to the American Hockey League, but he went down there with the idea, I'm going to get better. I'm going to get the opportunity to play a lot, and I want to seize this opportunity. And I think he did just that.
I think it would have been a no-brainer too, right, Paul? Because, like, I mean, where the situation is what it is. Luukkonen has played as well as he has. Like, he's playing anytime there's not a back-to-back. Now, once you're in that spot, like, where's Levi going to be happier? I'd imagine he, even if it's in the AHL, he'd rather be playing every other night down there than, I mean, if he's been up here, he's playing a couple of games, a handful, and that's not really, I don't think, good for anybody.
No, it's not good for him. And quite honestly, after tonight's game, if he plays, it wouldn't shock me if either now or when the trip's over, he goes back to Rochester and continues going on that run. He has really helped the Amherst get up to third place. Now, in their division, the American Hockey League is goofy. Every division is different how many teams get in the playoffs in that division. In the Amherst division, it's five, and they are in third place, but the teams behind them are right on their tail. So Levi has helped them get into third place and try to solidify their playoff position a little bit. And I think it's great for him to be able to be in that situation. I think it would be great for him if they get into the Calder Cup playoffs and he's there and helping them through the Calder Cup playoffs. And, you know, Eric Comrie is a great teammate. I think he's a very good guy. But, you know, you're to the point of the season now, when you look at the standings, you can't worry about people's feelings. And the cold, hard facts are Eric Comrie won his first game of the year back in October, and he hasn't won since. He's lost seven in a row. Not all of it's his fault. The team has, in some of the games he's played in, has not played well in front of him. But still, you have to bottom line it. And Kevin Adams had to say to himself, who gives us the best chance to win a hockey game? And I think we would all agree that would be Devin Levi tonight.
Paul, did you hear our discussion on hat tricks earlier? We had a discussion of hat tricks earlier.
I didn't. I actually was on a Vancouver radio station before I joined you, so I didn't get an opportunity to
opening act.
they wanted me at 10:30, but I said nope. I'm on my station at 10:30, so they said, "All right, can you come on at 10?" Absolutely. So that's where I was. So unfortunately, I did not get a chance to hear it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Number one, you know, you're here at 10:30 with us. We had a discussion. I opened up the show by telling Joe the Sabres have had 206 hat tricks all time after Skinner's last night. There's only been five guys who had double digits number of hat tricks. Andrechuk, Gare, and McGillivray have had 10. Gilbert Perreault had 19, Rick Martin at 21. So we started going through the list, and it's just amazing, some of these names. And we were trying to figure out, like, what player on the list, like, okay, kind of obscure name, didn't play much for the Sabres. Here's what we came up with. Mm-hmm. The name that I think had the fewest goals in a Sabres uniform but still scored a hat trick, Tony Tanti, who you'll remember, of course, tail end of his career. He had 16 goals in a Sabres uniform, but he had a hat trick in a Sabres uniform.
He was a big goal scorer in Vancouver before he came to Buffalo when he was a younger player. So a guy who's played on both these teams tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Here's the other one. I found another one. Wilf Pema. Wilf Pema, as you know, very good player in the NHL. But I looked at the tail end of his career, came to Buffalo for one season, scored 20 goals, but one was a hat trick.
You do one see game. Those. There's, I believe it was Michel Desailly, if I'm not mistaken, has one goal as a Sabre, and it's a playoff goal. He never scored.
I got to look this guy up now.
I believe it was him. There is one guy that's done it, and I believe it was Michel Desailly that did it. Didn't have a regular season goal, but had a playoff goal.
I love it. So. I love it. All right, Paul. Well, you know, Jeff Skinner hat trick last night, 206 hat tricks all time for the Buffaloes. Go ahead.
He's coming up on his 1,000th game, Paul. I think it's only seven games away.
Mm-hmm. I think they would have loved to have gotten Eric Johnson up to his 1,000th game, but it just got to a point where they couldn't do it. But, yeah, because they already had a Poso, and now Skinner's knocking on the door. By the way, before I take off, Joe and Jeremy asked me earlier, and I have since looked it up.
Oh, right, yeah.
Back-to-back. The Sabres won their first two back on the back end of it, the second game. They were 2-0 to start the season. Since then, they're 1-7. So overall, they are 3-7 on the second night of back-to-backs. On the first night, with last night's win, they are 6-4-1. But 3-7 on the back end of back-to-backs.
All right.
Iowa State, what's going on with Iowa State? They're a number two seed, right?
Yeah, but they're number four in the nation. They're ahead of North Carolina in the rankings, but North Carolina did get the number one seed. Unfortunately for the Cyclones. I mean, I look at it, Houston's the number two team in the nation, and Iowa State beat them twice and the second time by 28 points in the Big 12 championship game. So they have four losses, two to Iowa State, and that still didn't get the Cyclones into a number one seed. So, and unfortunately, you might remember one time years ago when they were the number two seed, what did they do? They lost to number 15, Hampton.
Oh, yes. Remember one of that. The first. Syracuse was the first ever two seed to lose to a 15 when they lost to Richmond.
Yeah.
And then since then it's happened. And now we've had two number one seeds fall down to 16s.
Yeah. Lost to Hampton.
Yeah, that's right. Paul, good luck to your Cyclones. We'll
check
in
later. South Dakota State this time.
You got it, buddy. All right. Thanks a lot, buddy. You got it. Paul Hamilton.
All righty. That was Paul Hamilton on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Hope you enjoyed the chat. We're going to take a quick time out here. We'll be back with more of the Nightcap. Hopefully more of your calls with 716-803-0550. Feel free to call in. Give some thoughts. We're going to do some scoreboard watching and, you know, maybe talk about some slug jerseys. Get some opinions on those. How about that? This is the Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back into the Nightcap. Quick little short segment here for you before we hit the top of the hour break, and we'll be back next hour. Quick scoreboard watch momentarily. Flyers still leading the Leafs, 1-0, end of the first. Bruins are over the Senators, 2-0, end of the first. The Blue Jackets are over the Red Wings, 2-0, the end of the first. And the Devils are leading the Penguins, 1-0, at the end of the first. The Hurricanes Islanders are tied 0-0. Neil, if you will, with 8 minutes and 42 seconds left in the first. So going to keep an eye on those games, those out-of-town games to watch for the Sabres. It's going to get interesting here, scoreboard watching time as we head towards the playoffs. Get to some of your tweets, maybe some more calls coming out of the top of the break here on the Sabres or even on the Bills. Anything you want to chat about in the final hour of the nightcap tonight as we get you closer to Sabres pregame. Brian Koziel again joins us at 8:45 for a little pre-pregame segment. So keep it right here. This is the Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley. You are listening to WGR.